you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
Okay, ready to get in the Word for a few minutes? I don't think there's any way we can finish what I had today, so I'm not even going to try. We've been talking about the names of God for some time, took a break from that last week, but we're talking about these different names of God. I want to talk to you about an aspect of his character today, and that is that he is our refuge, he is our shelter, he is our fortress. We're going to read a bunch of scriptures about that. There is not one single name like what we've talked about, you know, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You know, we've been talking about those specific names. There's not one single name for this, but this idea is throughout the scripture, beginning to end, that God has set himself as a place of refuge and safety and shelter and strength for us. And so I want to dig into some of that this morning. We'll probably just break off at a point and pick this up again next week. But he's always been known in those terms. David and the other psalmists wrote about it continually. It does go right along with what the Lord's talking about here this morning. In fact, one of the verses that I'm about to read to you talks specifically about, even when the ground's being pulled out from underneath me, God is my rock. God is my refuge. God is my fortress. So let me just read a few. And this is, I mean, there would be dozens and dozens of scriptures along this line. But Karen started the service with Psalm 18. And that's the first verse that I have this morning is Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3. I don't have these ones I'm about to read to you. None of this is up on your screen. Hopefully we will get to Psalm 91 today, and that will, some of that will be up on the screen for you. But Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge." So there are all those terms: rock, fortress, deliverer, and refuge. "He is my shield and the horn of my salvation." We see that terminology is kind of, I think it's kind of weird for us, you know, the horn of my salvation. The idea behind that was he is that the horns on an animal were their strength. They were their weapon. They were their protection. So he's the horn. He's the strength. He's the power. He's the ability of our salvation. Okay? He is the horn of my salvation. "He is my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies." Okay? So let's look at Psalm 28, verse 8. You might want to just write some of these down. Sorry, I'm a little shaken up, and it's just from what the Lord's been doing this morning. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Psalm 28, 8. "The Lord is the strength of his people." The Lord is the strength of his people. Man, I would encourage you, go, and especially if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling weakened, if you're feeling any of those types of things, just go to your Bible and just start looking up. You can use Google these days. I'm surprised they haven't pulled the Bible out of Google, but they haven't. I'm ashamed of how much I use Google to look up scriptures these days. My Bible software, the search engine is lousy, but Google's really good. So anyway, I would just encourage you to look up strength. Look up some of these terms and personalize them. Draw them in. These are for you, okay? "The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed ones." Psalm 46, 1 through 3. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." I love that verse. God is, personalize it. God is my refuge and strength. God is my refuge and strength. When you're feeling like you have no strength and don't know where to go for it, take verses like this and speak them, pray them, declare them. These are for you. This is God's word to you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, I will not. The God is my rock, my fortress, a very present help in time of trouble. Okay? So here's some things God is not when we talk about this. We talk about God being a refuge, okay? God being a fortress, a shelter for us. Here's some things. He's not an imaginary place of safety. And that's what people in the world are going to tell. Oh, this is just imaginary God. They say some awful things about God these days, and he loves them anyway. But, you know, oh, you're make-believe sky God. You've seen this stuff, okay? He's very active, real, present help. This is who he has declared himself to be. It's who his word says that he is. He's a very real, active, present help for you, okay? Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Man, that's a verse that I have prayed so many times in my life. And I approach God with expectation because he's promised it. Okay. I'm not in God's face. I'm just saying, Lord, you've promised it. I believe that help is on the way. Remember, God gave us a word about that a couple of years ago about help is on the way. It was at City Market. Karen gets this word because, you know, when you mess up the checkout deal, it starts talking to you. It messes up, yeah. So she's kind of an electronic computer savvy, yeah, guru, really. You wouldn't believe what she can make a computer do that no one has ever seen before. How do I fix this? I don't know. It's never done that. Anyway, help is on the way. And it was something that he'd been speaking to us anyway. And then that came up, and it was just a word from God to her. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. So we stand on these verses, right? So trust in God is not a way of escape from reality. We're not trying to get away. We're just saying God's reality supersedes this reality, okay? We're not just trying to escape. We're not, you know, he gives us real strength and wisdom to overcome real problems when we go to him. He gives us what we need to overcome real problems, okay? We've all got real problems, some of you more than others. But, you know, I'm just teasing you, okay? Trusting God for your safety, security, or your future does not mean you're in denial, okay? And that's what, again, this is the kind of stuff that really, I think the devil, through people, will try and get you off trusting God for your safety and security. But, oh, you're just in denial. No, I'm not. No, I am not. God is real. God is a very present help. God has invited me to come to his throne of grace, and he'll give me solutions. Doesn't always happen instantly, but if I keep seeking him in this area, he will. He has declared himself to be our place of safety, our place of security, right? So we're not, by exercising faith in God in this area, we are not denying the existence of problems and challenges. We're just denying them the right to rule our life, okay? To be the final authority. They're not going to be the final authority. We all have stuff that we face and challenges and difficult things. They're not going to be the final authority. This word is going to be the final authority. Okay, taking refuge in God is not another form of self-medication. And again, that's what a lot of people will try and kind of put you in that box that, oh, you're just, you know, well, I do this, you do that. No, this is reality. Okay, God is reality. His word is truth. Okay? This isn't a temporary escape. This isn't a day at the beach. Okay? This is God, our refuge, and we're going to see this in just a minute, if maybe. But the scripture tells us that God as a refuge is not just a hiding place. He can be that, but he's not just a place to get under shelter. That term refuge also means the place where you get equipped to go overcome your enemies. It's a place of equipping, not just a place of hiding out till you feel better, okay? And this is what the Bible says about it, okay? Living consistently in this, living consistently in that sense that, and again, it's so hard to put this into words without being misunderstood, this sense that, you know what, this is going to work out. I don't know how God's going to work this out, but it is going to work out. It's going to happen because I've spent time with him, and I've heard what he's saying to me. He's been impressing things to my heart. I don't know exactly how this is going to happen, but it's going to happen. I am in a place of safety. I am in a place of security. I am living in security and peace, even when things are coming. And I'm not saying I'm always there. I'm saying we can, right? You get it? That it does require something of us. It requires us to spend time in his word. It requires us to spend time in his presence, to let him speak to our hearts. It requires us sometimes to deny the flesh and what the flesh is trying to do. It requires us sometimes to set aside other voices that are contrary to what God is saying. We do have to do something. We're not earning anything by what we're doing, but we're putting ourselves in a position to be strengthened by him, okay? And then we've got to begin to apply the scriptures that he brings to us, the encouragement he brings, the promises he brings. We got to apply those to our situation and to life. And we do that through prayer. We do that through declaration, through speaking that word out. We do that through coming into agreement with other people who are actually in agreement with what the word of God says and praying with them. And we do that through our lifestyle, through the words that we speak, through the way that we act, through, you know, we keep walking forward. When it looks like there is no way forward, we keep walking forward because there is a way forward. And as we take steps, the Lord can guide us. He will direct our steps. Is this making sense to you? Okay. So we need to apply the word, apply these things that we're hearing. Listen to this passage. Isaiah. This is out of Isaiah chapter 17. Okay. And I'm beginning with verse 10. Listen to this. This is the Lord speaking to Israel at the time, but it's a good word for all of us. He says, you have forgotten God your Savior. This is Isaiah 17, 10 and 11. You have forgotten God your Savior. You have not remembered the rock your fortress. Okay? You've forgotten. You have not remembered. Though remembering, we've talked about this many times. Scripture has a lot to say about remembering. It is remembering. It is putting things back together in our hearts. It is remembering on purpose, intentionally remembering God and his word and what he has said. Okay? And we have to do that intentionally. Or what it says here is, you have not remembered the rock your fortress. So I need to, when I've got some big challenge, some big scary thing happening, I need to go back to these scriptures that we're going to be looking at today and I guess next week. Okay, and I need to go back to him. I need to remember what God has said because that is the truth that supersedes this, okay, this stuff that we live in. I've got to remember it. So he told Israel, you've not remembered the rock your fortress, therefore, because of that, okay, because you've just let that slip, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines. So this person is planting. This person's setting out the finest plants. They're doing something. They're working at something. Though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on the day you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud. Do you see it? So this person is doing something in their life. They're trying to bring life success, progress into their life. They're doing something. And at the beginning, they're working it hard and it's working, okay? Looks like this is going to work, but it's something they are doing. I mean, look at the language there. You set them out. You make them grow. On the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing. In other words, in the long run, what you're trying to do on your own is not going to change the situation, okay? Why? Because you've forgotten trust in God in this area. You've forgotten that He's your rock. He's your refuge. He's your strength. When we remember God's our rock, God's our strength, God's our refuge, then we're not going to sit back and just wait for Him to fix everything. Corresponding actions. The Bible talks to us about how faith produces actions. We don't do actions to try and get faith. We don't just come up with things to do. Faith produces action in us. All of Hebrews chapter 11 shows people of faith doing something, okay? But they're not doing it to try and convince God that they're worthy. They're not doing it. It's not a dead work, okay? Faith is at work. They've spent time with God. They've remembered who He is, and faith has been generated in them, and that faith will always motivate us to begin to walk out steps of action, okay? And there's a difference. It might even look the same on the outside, but it's not the same at all. There's life in walking by faith, letting faith motivate your steps, okay? And a lot of times we can't tell which one you're doing, but one's going to produce a harvest and the other one isn't. Might look good for a while, but it doesn't have any life in it, okay? Does that make sense to you? All right, let's go over to Psalm 91 and we'll just read down through this. We've got about 10 minutes left. Are you glad you came to church? Good. I am too. I'm glad I came. I'm glad you came. Psalm 91. And let's just read through this. I know it's very familiar to many of you, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible, so it'll be louder. Let's just read down. Let's just read the whole psalm. And then really what I intended to spend time on, I just want us to get verses 1 and 2, honestly, because all the promises of this psalm are hinged on what is said in verses 1 and 2, okay? So, verse 1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you shall trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Love that. His truth is truth. It's His word. It's what the Father has said. Jesus said, Father, Your word is truth. It's the word of God. That's His truth. His faithfulness is His consistency in doing His word and bringing His word to pass. His truth and His faithfulness. All right. Where was that? Truth and faithfulness. There we are. A shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be yourself, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all of your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. And then it kind of changes, and the Lord starts to speak here. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. Trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? So tremendous promises about specific aspects of life. Almost every challenge we could run into is found somewhere in these scriptures. And we have these promises of God's protection, of his shelter, of his deliverance. This is a great psalm. If you haven't done this, this is a great psalm for you to come back to again and again and again. We pray these words over ourselves, over others, as they're traveling, as they're going, whatever it might be. We pray these scriptures over people. So let's just dig in just a little bit here in Psalm chapter, again, 91. And verses 1 and 2, okay, and remember, all the promises we just read are hinged to these first two verses, okay? Does that make sense? You guys still with me? Okay. So again, I'm reading from the Amplified here. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed. I like just that part, you know, stable and fixed, not knocked down by every wind of doctrine, not pushed back and forth, not constantly unsure. That's not the life God has for us. This person will remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no one can withstand. I will say, this is something we do, of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. All right? So we're going to start breaking this down. All right? So this is a lot of definitions here. It first says, he who dwells in the secret place. The secret place, okay, the secret place describes a private shelter. This is what the word means. We're taking it, this isn't even, you know, how we usually understand this, but this is what the Hebrew word means. It is a private shelter that is both unknown and inaccessible to your enemies. A private shelter, it's yours, it's personal. It's your place, okay, that is both unknown to your enemies. In other words, your enemy, the devil, okay, let's remember, we're not here to fight with flesh and blood, okay? Spiritual powers, principalities and powers is what the Bible tells us. So the demonic world is not familiar with this place of intimacy, this secret place that you have access to. They don't get to go in there. They don't get to live in that kind of intimacy with God. They don't have any of this unknown to them. This is something special that you and I have, and it is inaccessible to them. They can't go in there. They can't go into intimacy with God. That's something for God's children, okay? So it refers to our personal, intimate, devotional time with God, all right? And it's talking about somebody who dwells in that place, okay? That word, it's a place where we temporarily, yeah, I can say it this way, because there's kind of two prongs, two aspects of this. It's a place where we choose to withdraw at times and move into intimacy with God. We should be having this every day. You know, I understand that life gets in the way once in a while, but our habit should be to have some intimate, personal time with God. Well, I have kids in the house. I know, figure it out, because this is important. And I know loads of parents that have figured it out over the years. So, yep, I don't have kids in the house. You do. I understand. Don't dismiss the word of God over that, okay? And don't get mad at me because I'm telling you the truth, all right? This is just something you got to figure out. You got to figure it out. You got to get up earlier. You got to stay up later. You got to do something, okay? You got to tie the kids up in the backyard. You've got to do something, okay? We need to have these. It's a place where we withdraw from all the other distractions and pressures in order to soak in God's presence, in order to let him speak. And not every time we do this is some big dramatic. You're not going to have a dramatic vision every time you do this, okay? I think sometimes we dismiss things because, oh, you know, I didn't really hear anything this morning. We'll go back tomorrow. You know, this is a lifestyle. That's what dwells means, okay? It means we're making our home in, okay? This isn't a place of frantic prayer, okay? It's not a place of delivering your shopping list to God. It's not that place. It's a place to soak. I wrote this down the other day. It's a place to soak in the hot tub of God's love, okay? It's a place to just, I don't even like hot tubs. They're too hot. 2 minutes, I'm out of there sitting on the edge, steaming. But anyway, people love hot tubs. You get the feeling. It's a place to soak, right? A place to soak in God's presence. Let all those other voices fade away. Let them go. You're there to meet with God. I believe about 80% of our prayer time should be devotional time, not asking prayer, and asking prayer is right and good, okay? Not intercessory prayer even, and that's right and good. All those types of prayer are right and good, but the devotional time gives birth to all those other kinds of prayer, okay? So this devotional time is really important, okay? We're only going to have time to do the one more thing. So he's saying, he who dwells, right? And we see this in the New Testament, where in John 15, where Jesus talks about the one who abides in him, right? Abides in the vine will produce fruit. And it's the same idea. This is the person who dwells in the secret place. They're not a visitor, okay? They're not just there for a little while. They're not company, okay? It means we abide in, which is another term. We don't use that much. It means to make your home in, okay? It means to remain habitually in and not wander very far away from and always return to. Okay, think of it as your home. You bring all your stuff into the secret place. In other words, I bring my whole life in there. So I said a little bit ago, it's a place where we withdraw temporarily. Yes, we do that. But we are also able to carry the secret place with us because he lives in here, right? As we learn this, we get better and better and better at carrying that presence and that peace and that rest and that sense of security with us when we're not sitting in our room in a quiet place with the kids tied up in the backyard, okay? When we're no longer in that place, we can carry that with us. So it is both of those things, but it is this idea of making your home, all your stuff's at your home, you know? Most all of your stuff. I know today we've got storage areas. Okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Your stuff is there. You're comfortable there. You've got things, you know, the way that you want them. It's a place where you can go and, hey, it's home. We go out into the world, we come back home, and it's good to get home, right? You guys, a lot of you traveled this week. It's great. Enjoyed it. It's good to get home. At least that's the way we always feel, okay? So this is the place we enter into habitually, live in, but in living in, we endeavor to learn how to carry this presence, this peace, this sense of God being right here. And we want to carry that with us, okay? We're going to stop right there because we're out of time. And we'll have to look at it next week. There are two different names of God used in this first verse, and they're both really significant, okay? And we're going to pick up and look at that next week, I guess. Okay? Did you get anything out of this? All right, let's stand up and pray. See, now we have a giant blue clock back there, so I'm... Yeah. Well, that, I can actually see that one. All right. Boyd can even see that one. So, yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we love the fact that you have invited us into the life that we're just beginning to describe here. We love that you have provided yourself as a place of refuge and a place of strength and a place where we can be equipped to go out into life. Lord, and none of us want to forget that. We don't want to be like Isaiah 17, Lord, where you're telling your people, you forgot this, and so you're striving on your own, and it doesn't have to be that hard, and it's not producing fruit. Lord, we want to live in fruitfulness in you. It's available to us. We don't have to earn it. And so, Lord, I just pray that throughout this week and as we dig into these verses, that you just reestablish us where necessary, remind us of you as a refuge, as a place of strength. And I thank you for that, Father. And I just feel in my heart right now, there's some folks I think online, probably here too, Lord, they're just, man, they've been struggling with some things and challenges. And Father, I pray for them to be able to just sit back, soak in that place of your presence in order to gain wisdom, to get the very next step, to know the next right thing. And then, Father, to be able to carry that presence with them out in the world and share it with others. We thank you for that. We ask your blessing on this day and this week as we go out into the world as your church. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Ready to go out and eat some snacks? Oh, you're like, well, I guess it is the week after Thanksgiving. Maybe people are like, snacks, yeah. All right. Let's say this on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin, and the world will be dismissed. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.